So we're breaking down the Christmas story. If you have your scripture today, that's Luke chapter 2. And I hope you've been around for the Advent messages. If not, what I'm learning, and I think what we're learning, is just when you think you've heard it all, you haven't heard it all. And just when you think, you know, oh, I know the Christmas story, and there could be nothing new in the Christmas story for me, hello, there's something new in the Christmas story for us. Do you know why? It's because the Word of God is living and active. It is not just ink on a page. It is the breath of God on a page. And if this is the greatest night of all the nights on planet Earth, then God's going to keep opening for us every season. Every Christmas, you can count on it, God's going to do something new, bring something new, say something new, unfold something new out of the arrival of Jesus, because every year is going to find us in a different place, in a different story, in a different circumstance, and that's even true today. We got people in here so excited today, they can't stand it. They are on like the Christmas high. They have more than one tree at the house. Come on, who is that here? One tree wasn't enough, so we got a couple of trees. Only four people? Come on, there's more than that. Let's see them. Okay, people are, there's no shame in that. Why do you people feel so, I got three, you know. There's no shame in that. Yeah, as many trees as you want. And a lot of them been up since October. Who's had a tree up since October? Anybody? All right. Thank you very much. Thank you so much. Few people haven't gotten a tree yet, and there's still a few out there. I saw some on the way home last night. You can still get one today. And so there's a super prepared and excited people, and you just wake up happy. You can't wait to get that sweater on and get the wassail on the back burner. I mean, you get it. I mean, as soon as the morning's going, you got it all happening. You got Santa Claus is all over the house, and you're so excited. There are other people here, and you're hanging on for dear life right now. And all Christmas is, seriously, is a diversion for you for a little while from the stuff you're trying to deal with. It's just a little momentary diversion for you from all the stuff that you're dealing with. And there's everybody in between today. And I really believe that the story and the message of Christmas is powerful for all of us today. And the main idea today is that Christmas reminds us that God brings the extraordinary into the ordinary. This is the main story of Christmas. That the extraordinary message, hope, and heart of Jesus can find us in the ordinary places of life. And if you came today thinking, you know what, I'm sort of living a normal life in an ordinary thing, in regular circumstances, the hope and the promise today for you is powerful and real. We talked in the first week about in those days, and then we centered in that word nearby. Last week was keeping watch, and today we have another little sleeper text coming around, and we barely got out of the same verses in verse 8 and 9, and this is what it says. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, or an older translation says with me together, can you say it? The glory of the Lord shone round about them. So the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were what? Terrified. Now, if you were raised around like King James or some other translations, you remember that. It was they were what? They were sore afraid. That was one of those places where you started struggling with your faith right there, because you're like, I don't understand this. I don't know what that means. I don't know why they would say that. And the scriptures may not relate to me in my regular journey through life if people were sore afraid, because I've never been sore afraid before. Does that mean I was so afraid that I got sore at the end of it from really being afraid? I don't know how that works. So I like that we're sort of bringing it up to somewhere we're all living. And they were terrified. So we're talking about real humanity here and real life here. So we want to demystify Bethlehem's night a little bit tonight. We're talking about regular guys doing a regular job, taking the graveyard shift by themselves in the fields, and an angel of the Lord appears to them. And when that angel appears, it wasn't all, you know, great at the very beginning, because when the angel appeared, they all were shaken in their shepherd sandals in that moment. They were terrified at the appearance of just an angel of God. We don't know which angel. We can read into that which angel it was, but it just says in the text, an angel. And there are 10,000 times 10,000 angels and maybe even more angels than that. So one of these beings from heaven appears in the fields of the shepherds. And they were terrified, not only because of this angelic being that had arrived into their ordinary night, but also because of this extraordinary light that shined into their ordinary night. And maybe they had a little fire going that they were trying to, you know, keep burning till the morning. But all of a sudden, the glory of the Lord, the renown and the fame of God is what that word means. So not just light shone around them, but the light was carrying with it far more significance than just a helicopter hovering overhead with a searchlight kind of swirling around the shepherds. It was a presence of the renown and the splendor and the fame of God surrounded them in the shepherd's field. And when it did, they were terrified. And I want to lock on to that phrase today. The glory of the Lord shone around them. That in their ordinary moment, God shined extraordinary light. You know, I don't know if you've been to Israel or to Bethlehem. Has anybody been to Bethlehem that's here today? Any? Can you hold them up just really high? I'm trying to see a couple people over there. One right here. Two. Okay, few, but anyway, a dozen people been to Bethlehem. Anybody been to Israel before? Jerusalem. Isn't that weird? I mean, isn't that weird? I mean, I'm not saying really weird, but it's kind of weird, isn't it? That like a dozen people in here, the place packed out, a dozen people been to Israel. This is like the birthplace of our Savior. This is where Christ died for our sins. This is where Christ is returning at the end of it all. And this is where everything emanates from it for the ages that are to come. And we're like, yeah, no, I haven't been there. I have been down to Cancun, though, a few times. Yes, I've done. Anybody been to Cancun? Hello? Yeah, Cozumel? Oh, we've been there for sure. New York City? Anybody? New York City people? Yeah, we've been Jerusalem. No, we're not going to Jerusalem. Can I just encourage us all to go to Jerusalem for real? Sometime before you see Jesus, you know? And that's the weird thing about it. Every time I've been in Jerusalem, I've had the same thought. Shelly and I laugh about this, and I don't mean to hurt anyone's feelings when I say this. Please don't send me mail, or we'll edit it out of talk later. But when you go to Israel, if it's in a peacetime and there are a lot of tourists there, they're really old. Everybody there is old. I'm not knocking old people. I'm old. But I'm talking, you got busloads of like, really like, you know, they're coming off, oh, come on, Larry, we're going to go see the empty tomb, you know? It's going to be amazing. How far do we have to walk to get there? And I just keep thinking to myself, these people are like really close to the new Jerusalem, and they've just come to see the old Jerusalem. Is that terrible? That's terrible, isn't it? It's terrible. I know it's terrible, but I'm old too. So I'm not saying don't go if you're old. If you're older, go. But go now while you can. Where possibly there's a gap of a few decades before you're actually going to be in the new city of God. Yeah. That's terrible. I know. It's been nice being with you all, and I've loved pastoring this church. It's been a real highlight for me. I'm sure we'll stay in touch. When we've been, the first time we went was about 14 years ago, and we took all like young 20s. And so if you're a young 20, man, skip Cancun. 3 years in a row, save your money, go to Jerusalem. Because when you go there, all of a sudden, it is a life changer. You're like, well, it's dangerous over there. Well, it's dangerous in Cancun too. I don't know what will happen if I go there. Your life will be changed if you go there. You should see. And if you haven't seen, and a lot of us obviously in the room today haven't, I want to take us there this morning. And I want to take us and put us into Bethlehem today. Because I want to try to demystify the little nativity scene on the dining room table. And I want to put us into the ordinary and the real and the tangible. And let us see how the gospel fits in the regular flow of life. So welcome to Bethlehem today.
I like this song very much. The net here not good.
Is that YouTube?
Yeah, this is YouTube. This is YouTube. Yes.
I graduate from Bethlehem University. I have BA at accounting.
I like the sheep, but I need a job. The story of Jesus.
Yeah.
Born at Bethlehem.
From this road, you can go to Bethlehem from this road.
Since Bethlehem, a small city, not big city. Near Bethlehem, we have big wall. Mary and Joseph, if he coming today, no, because the big wall is close to Bethlehem. He want permit from Israel.
I come here every day at 1 o'clock a.m. to sell coffee and tea for the worker who crossed to Jerusalem. In the back of me, there is the wall, 12 meters in the sky with 700 kilometers around Jerusalem.
It's very hard to come into Bethlehem because people think the Palestinian people are terrorists.
Bethlehem is the city that Jesus was born in it. He came to tell the people about the meaning of the peace, the meaning of the love, the meaning of the life together.
The angel came to Maryam.
Yeah.
And told them that he has pregnant.
Yeah.
Maryam do not like this because I do not have married. From where the baby? Their family and they killed him.
The honor, they killing.
Honor killing.
In our land, she must married. It's shame for us.
If it's not be killed, they will be thrown from her home.
When she's pregnant and alone, it's her first time to have a baby. I imagine God help her.
She accepted his will, and she was ready to fight any obstacles. So. Yeah, she was a strong woman.
Gold is a king. And whatever circumstances we live, we have his identity and we give him our loyalty too. This is a water container. People would hide gold in these jars. Incense burner and frankincense means the priesthood. Jesus would carry our prayers and will carry us up to the Father. Without him, we cannot reach the Father. This is what myrrh been carried in. And myrrh is a sign for the sufferings that he would carry.
They expected to see a prince in a castle. They did not expect a baby born in poverty.
It's not rich. It's very poor. I know all this. God loves the poor people, rich people, all people.
He's a refugee. Jesus is a refugee.
They wanted to kill him. There was order to kill all the children of Bethlehem, newborns to 2 years old. That's why she flew to Egypt.
Jesus born refugee because God, he wanted to teach us how, if Jesus born refugee, what about us? And he teach us about to give forgiveness and love.
They come from God to give him the message for peace. This is the important thing that the God is told to Isa to the people. Yes.
The Prince of Peace being born in the most troubled land on earth, it has like a significance maybe.
We need peace inside ourselves and we need peace all over the world.
We can feel the peace in our life because we have a hope.
Hope coming where we understand each other and the hope coming where we understand God for our life.
I think Jesus knocking doors of the hearts of people. And he asked for anyone to open for him to start the new Christmas with him.
Easter is the principle of peace. Yes, he says there's the principle of peace.
Sturgis.
Oh, I love that. Don't you love that? That's great. It just demystifies the little embroidered ornaments, doesn't it? And it just puts God right down in the ordinary flow of life. You got a shepherd out in the sheep fields around Bethlehem watching some music video on YouTube. That's how real the story of Christmas is. It's not just a little play for the kids at school. It really is the unfathomable moment where the extraordinary love and grace of God broke into the ordinary of humanity. Where Jesus, breaking all the rules, King of Kings, born poor, not in a palace. And probably not any one of us had really thought through this season that very quickly after his birth, Jesus' entire family became refugees in Egypt. On the run, homeless, looking for shelter, unsure of their future, not knowing when or if they'll be able to make it back to where they are from, because death is hanging over the whole region. You see, it's into that moment that God breaks in with the greatest news in the world. And what that says to us today is that wherever we are, whatever the circumstance of our life, whether it looks like we hoped it would look or it looks upside down completely from the way we hoped it would look, whether we feel close to God or a million miles away from God, whether we feel worthy of God's love or completely unworthy of our own love, that in the ordinary place we are, that God wants to break in, he wants to break through, and in the ordinary place, the extraordinary glory of God can come, and it can shine all around you and all around me wherever we are today. This is the story of Christmas. I'm reading this text, and I'm sitting in this text, and a few verses before, she wrapped him in cloths, meaning Jesus, and placed him in a manger. And it does not say that when she placed him in a manger, the glory of God shone all around the baby. Maybe the glory of God did shine around the baby, because Luke doesn't record it, doesn't mean that there wasn't glory shining around the baby. But God didn't say to us, when Jesus was born, all the light of heaven surrounded him. The story says when Jesus was born, the light of heaven shines around you. So there's no spotlight on the baby. All of a sudden, the glory appears to the shepherds. So when Christ breaks through, when Christ breaks into the story, when Christ breaks into humanity, when the salvation plan of God now in human flesh is beginning to unfold, when a Savior has appeared to the world, there isn't music going off and a heavenly choir over the manger scene. The music goes off and there's a heavenly choir in the ordinary dark night where shepherds are doing a regular job again. And what that says today to you and me is that wherever we are, whatever circumstance you find yourself in, whatever ordinary place that you're in today, the gospel says that God brings the extraordinary grace and kindness and light and love and power of heaven. And he finds us in the ordinary places of life. So I want to unpack just a few ideas today around the gospel, because this story is a gospel story. It's a gospel-driven story because it's about God doing what we can't do. It's about God entering in to solve a problem that we can't solve. It's about God changing your destiny today in a way that you could never change your destiny, no matter how hard you tried. And I want us to see a few of the ways that that happens today. One, it just begins with this amazing announcement. And the announcement lets us know that what is happening here today is completely unlike anything that's ever happened before. An angel appears from God to declare the story of the grace of God and the gospel. And a few things unfold in that. And this is what we see. Let's just read the text again all the way to the end. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, verse 8, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And when the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. A little parenthesis there, because we're not going to unpack that this Advent season. But Mary pondered the fact that a Savior had been born, who she had heard it prophesied about would take away the sins of the world. So even on night one, she was already dealing with the magnitude of the ripple effect for her heart and her life of the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. She's thinking it through on night one. But the shepherds, they returned, and they were glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The gospel moves us, and it moves us in this very first night. It moves us from understanding that we find God to the reality that God finds us. That's what the gospel says to us. It says it's not about us finding God. It's about God finding us. And there's got to be one person who came today and even today is a part of your journey to find God. And I'm not knocking the language. You know, I grew up in an era where I remember back in the 60s, there was a bumper sticker very prevalent and it said, "I found Jesus." And a lot of people were saying, you know, "I finally have searched and I've looked and I've thought about all the options, but I found Jesus." And it is true that we find Jesus, but the bigger truth is that Jesus finds us. And I just want to take the pressure off of you today. If you don't know where to look or how to find Jesus or how to find a relationship with God, let the pressure be off today, because the gospel says it's not about us finding God. It's really about God finding us. You say, "Well, where did you get that?" I'm getting it from the fact that an angel of God appeared in the night to a bunch of shepherds around their little campfire, keeping watch over their flocks at night. They didn't know how to find Jesus. They didn't know how to find salvation. They didn't even know there was a baby born just across the hill. They didn't know that God was unfolding a way to them. And so God came and found them right where they were, because God brings the extraordinary grace and goodness of heaven into the ordinary places of life. And you may be thinking today, "You know what, Louis? I'm in a place where I don't think I'm ever going to be able to find God." Well, I've got good news for you. God is going to be able to find you. You may not think that you can work your way to him, but he knows right where you are. And he even put you in this building today, put you in this moment today as his way of saying, "I know you, I see you, I understand who and where you are, and I can get to you in a nanosecond, even if you believe you can't get to me in a whole lifetime." The angel of the Lord an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. At the 10 o'clock gathering today, we did something that we rarely do here. I don't know if we'll do it at 12:30 or not. You can let me know at the end if you really want me to, and you can help me know. But at the end of the 10 o'clock gathering, I don't know, we don't plan a lot of the endings. We just kind of let God lead at the endings. And so I, for whatever reason, I thought, you know, I bet there's somebody here today, and you just feel like out of all these people here, several thousand people here, that somehow the glory of God's shining around you. He does that at Passion City Church, by the way. People tell me all the time, they're like, man, you were talking, or somebody was preaching, and we were singing in the worship, and I just felt like everybody was like, I felt like you were talking about me. People tell me that a lot, and I love hearing it, because they're like, I don't know, I was just feeling so weird, because it was like a light was shining down on me, and you were looking at me, but you weren't really looking at me, but it felt like you were looking at me, because you were talking to me. That's a little terrifying in itself, isn't it? Because you're thinking, how does he know? You know, and you don't even want to look at anybody. Have you ever been here and felt that? Like, I'm not even looking at my wife because she's going to just go. You know, I'm not looking over my husband right now because he's going to like, I've been trying to tell you. You know, you just don't want to know because you're afraid maybe if I look over there, they're going to be like, yeah, I'm sorry, but I told him. Yeah, I sent him an email this week. We'll be on the third row, second section. Look for me and I'll give you a nod and it'll be my wife. She's sitting on my left. But you know the beauty of that is, I know a lot of the stories here, but I don't know most of the stories here. And so if I'm ever teaching or someone else is teaching at Passion City and you feel like, man, you're just talking like right to me, it's not me talking right to you. It's the Spirit of God talking right to you. That's what you feel. And he knows everything about you, you know? He doesn't need an earpiece. He doesn't need somebody, you know, tell him coming in, you know, we laugh about it all the time, but, you know, maybe I don't have an earpiece, you know, so in case you're wondering, nobody's giving me information, right? See the couple on the 12th row back here? I saw them having an argument out in the oval, and they were really mad at each other right before they came in. I really believe that maybe the Lord is saying there's a couple with family trouble right over in this area right here. Somebody right in the back here. No, other side. No, I feel more strongly over here. You know, I don't have an earpiece. I don't know your story, but God knows your story. And here's the beauty of your story. Your story is not going to be, man, I worked it out, solved it all, and found God. That's not going to be your story. Your story is going to be, I was in the middle of a place in life where I didn't know how to look out to find God. I didn't know how to work it out to change things. And God found me. An angel of the Lord appeared to me. And you're probably going to have a story like that. And his name's going to be Mark. And he showed up at your gym. Or her name is going to be Mary. And all of a sudden she met you in the break room at work. So they were on the side of the road when your car broke down. An angel of the Lord. God's going to send somebody to you. And they're going to announce to you, hey, good news to you. God is for you. Good news for you. God is on the scene. Good news for you. I felt God impressing me to pull over and stop. God impressing me to reach out and touch you. God impressing me to drop this off for your family. God impressing me to come by the hospital today because God wants you to know that he knows where you are and he knows how to find you. The gospel says it's not about us finding God. It's about God finding us. I love that. The gospel tells us that the old news was amazing, but the new news is so glorious it blows our minds. Do you know that in the old covenant where there wasn't a savior, there was only a system pointing to a savior, that was glorious? Cloud by day, fire by night, cloud descended on the tent of meeting, cloud filled up the temple so that the priests couldn't even minister there. Glory of God everywhere in the old covenant, called the Shekinah glory of God. Literally, manifest, touch it, see it, feel it, glory of God. And that was glorious glory. It was impressive glory. Moses coming down with two tablets, with 10 commandments that we can't even keep. They're going to condemn us and sentence us to the understanding that we can't measure up to God's righteousness and God's holiness. And even those two tablets of death came with glory. So much so that Moses faith shine. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, if the old covenant that brought death came with glory, how much more will the news of the Spirit that brings life come with glory? And I'm telling you, when that angel appeared, it was as if God was saying, the message I'm bringing you today is this message. The old, it was good because it pointed you to God. But today, a Savior has been born. And this message is far more glorious, so much so that out in this field, the glory of God is going to shine all around you. And so much so, it's going to terrify you. Do you know why? Because the third thing is, when the gospel comes, it doesn't come on our terms, it comes on God's terms. When the gospel arrives, it does not arrive on our terms, it arrives on God's terms. Will you not meet Jesus like, I need you to be 6'2", blue eyes, a nice guy from the Midwest who is a banker. And I need you to like this and not like this, to be okay with this and not okay with this, to save me but not cramp my style. Here's exactly how I need you to be. This is the package I need you to come in. This is the way I need you to act. This is the way I need you to be. This is the way, this is the God I want to believe in. This is not the gospel. There are gospels like that, but not the gospel. The gospel says when God arrives, he arrives on his terms and not on our terms. And when he arrived this night, it scared the nightlight out of these shepherds. I was going to say the daylight, but there wasn't any daylight. It scared and terrified them. And you're like, I don't like the idea of that, Louis. Why is God terrifying? Don't we want a God who's not terrifying and a little more jolly and a little more holly and a little more, you know, happy? Don't we want, you know, something more like that? No, we want a God that when he shows up, we understand that he is bigger than us. He is more glorious than us. He is holier than us. He is more perfect than us. He is not like us. He is not 6'2". He is not blue eyes. He is not from the Midwest. He doesn't do what we want him to do. He is big enough to hold the entire history of humanity in his hands. And we're not going to see eye to eye with him. Just his messenger is going to put the fear in us. Just a messenger who's been in the presence of the majesty on high is going to put the fear in us. So just the messenger shows up. Just one messenger shows up. And then the glory of God, the splendor, the fame, the renown of God, not just light, but the remnant of God's famous name shines around them. I am that I am is shining around them. And they are terrified. And here's why. Here's why this is good news. Because when God arrives, when the gospel arrives, it is going to put you on your heels. It's going to, if you are not on your heels, then I don't think you've heard the gospel. And far be it from me to decide, but if all for you it was a weird summer camp and a guy told a story and, you know, and all of a sudden we threw a stick in the fire and I put my faith in Jesus and that's all you've ever had your whole lifetime, I don't know if you've ever seen I am that I am. Because there's a moment where the gospel comes and it puts us on our heels and we are a little bit terrified that God is as holy as he is and we're not. It's because when God shows up, God shows up. It says the glory, the fame, splendor, and renown of the Lord, which the three words you get out of that Greek word are Sir, Master, and Lord. So when the fame, splendor, and renown of Sir, Master, and Lord shines around you, it puts everything in perspective in a heartbeat. And in one breath, we go, oh, wow. Oh, wow. And there is no rationalizing, debating conversation in that moment. That happens when the glory of our friend shines around us. That happens when the glory of our self-intellect shines around us. But when the glory of the Lord shines around us, we're like, oh no. Because when God arrives, he arrives in majesty. When he arrives in splendor. When he arrives in holiness. When he arrives as the one who has no equal. And the one to which we say there is none other as radiant, as perfect, as awesome as you. But I love this about the gospel. The gospel doesn't leave us terrified. The gospel announces to us peace. And I love that about the gospel. If your religion leaves you afraid, you've got the wrong gospel. If you're living in fear, you've got the wrong gospel. If you're afraid of God today, you've got the wrong gospel, because the gospel may make us terrified, but it doesn't leave us terrified. And I love that about the gospel. It might bring us terror, but it announces to us peace. And that's what the angel said. He said to them what angels say. We've said it 100 times here. Do not be afraid. Why shouldn't I be afraid? The glory of the Lord is shining around me. Well, you shouldn't be afraid, because I am announcing to you good news of great joy for all the people. I know it looks bright, and it looks a little hairy, and it looks a little scary, and it looks a little otherly when God sends a messenger and his glory shines around you. But the message is that God today has brought peace to you. In the city of David, a Savior's been born. He's Christ the Lord. And in this very day, God wants to turn your fear into peace. And he doesn't want you to live one more second afraid of God. He wants you to know that Christ has come, that so that you can have peace with God. I love that about the gospel. I love it when the gospel comes, it turns our night into day. Some people dwell in darkness, but God has come in great light. That's what Isaiah said when he was prophesying about the coming of the Lord, this passage that's so famous around Christmas time. Isaiah chapter 9, this is what it says. In verse 2, it says, the people, Isaiah 9, 2, were walking in darkness, and now they have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Do you know why? Because when the gospel comes, it comes and takes us from darkness into light, from night into day. It moves us out of the shadows and brings us into the truth and the grace and the mercy of our God. And he has a name, the one who does this. Verse 6, for to us, you know the passage, right? A child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And how does he come? He comes to people walking in darkness, and now they will say, I've seen a great light. And on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawn. That means if you're here today and you're feeling darkness closing around you, and I know there are people like that today, you're feeling like the cloud of despair, the cloud of doom, the cloud of panic is overwhelming you, and the walls are closing in, and life is closing in, and you're shutting off yourself from friends. You're shutting off yourself even from church. Maybe it's rare that you're in here today, or you're way in the back because you're just slipping in on the corner or on the edge, and you're cutting yourself off from relationships and from friendship. And all of a sudden, when we do that, and I think all of us know what this looks like, we isolate ourselves. We start listening to ourselves. All those crazy thoughts in our minds get louder and louder and louder. We start to become paranoid, and we start to become, you know, a little bit crazy inside, and we feel overwhelmed that things are never going to change, that we're never going to be free, that we're never going to be different, that we're never going to be released from the things that are choking us out. And the gospel is coming to us today and saying, listen, Jesus wasn't born at high noon. He could have been, but he was born in the night so that the glory of the Lord could light up the darkness of the night. The gospel, when it comes, it takes us from night to day. And in this very room today, Jesus is here, and he is shining glory around you, and he is shining into your dark night even today. I love the gospel because it turns terror into joy. I love the gospel because it turns terror into joy. I learned the gospel because it turns a system into a savior. These shepherds knew the ropes. They knew the deal. They knew the high and holy days, because that was their business. These shepherds didn't have a business if it wasn't for the high and the holy days in the temple courts where the sheep would be sacrificed. They knew the calendar. They knew the demand. They knew what the market was going to bring. They knew all about how the system had been set up to atone for the wrongs of our lives. But on this night, they heard the gospel, and the gospel said it's not a system, it's a savior. It's not a system of belief. It's not you piecing together a religion or a faith. It's not about you observing certain things. It's not even about you getting to church today. The gospel comes in the form of a baby and says, good news. It's not a system. It's a savior. And he's Christ the Lord. And the system will never bring you peace of heart. The system will never take the guilt away. And the system will never give you that confidence and peace that you are a son or a daughter of God forever. But the Savior will take the stain away. He will remove the guilt and pay the price. And he will birth in you brand new life. Son, daughter, family of God. And I love that the gospel breaks down the system and announces the fulfillment of all was promised in the Savior, Christ the Lord. Some of you still looking for the system. Can I just encourage you? I hope I can say this. You don't need to go up and down the self-help section at Barnes & Noble anymore. You don't need to grab out at everybody that says, I have a way to spirituality. I have a way to lead you on a journey to light. I have a way to enlighten you into the greater divine. Because if you've noticed, each one of those leads you to another one of those. And there's still this longing in our hearts. That's because it's not a system that somebody can sell you. It's a Savior who's been given for you that will lead you to peace with God, forgiveness of sin, and a life eternal that holds up even in the storm and will blossom into a forever with God. It's unshakable. I love that the gospel allows us to live beyond what we see and allows us to understand the unseen. You know, the gospel is not just a transaction. The gospel is not just, well, if you'll pray this prayer, you'll go to heaven. If you'll say you believe in God, you'll be forgiven. If you'll come down front, you'll have a future in heaven. The gospel is we are born again into a brand new relationship with God. And in that moment, we start realizing that what we see on earth is not all there is. What this world offers is not all there is. What we can add up with our eyes is not all there is. I love that after the shepherds heard the announcement of the Savior, it says, and then appearing with the angel, suddenly appearing, like suddenly, not like slowly, but like bam, appearing with the angels. Oh my goodness, a great company of the heavenly host appeared, and they're all like, I got on my suit and tie, and I've showed up at the right moment to announce the coming of Jesus. Just trying to see who was on JT World last night. Thank you for a few of you that were there, just letting you know we know what's going on and letting you know that's not all there is, and letting you know there's something big going on around you and me. And in a moment, suddenly, it says, appearing with the angel, he said, I need backup because I don't want you to forget what's happened tonight. Pfft, curtain opens up, and a great company of the heavenly host appeared. There's a whole other story of that in the gospel, but I love that. I think the great company of the heavenly host had appeared all at once. The first time, the shepherds would have died of cardiac arrest, and there would have been no story. I think they needed to work their way through an angel, and then they needed to know there was good news. And after they knew it was all good news, then a great company could appear. Because the great company had appeared, they would have thought, it's done, we're done. But once they knew it was good news, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared. Don't you love that? Now, they weren't traveling like 18,000 light years to get there and just arrived at the right moment. Here we come. Ta-da! No, they were there. And how it happened suddenly is that God just pulled the curtain back. And they were like, wow. And this great company said, glory to God in the highest. I wonder what that sounds like. A great company of the heavenly host saying with a loud voice. I love it. They weren't saying, well, glory to God in the highest. They were like, glory to God in the highest. A great company of them. Glory to God in the highest. And I mean, put yourself in reality. All the sheep are looking up. All the sheep are waking up. Everybody is waking up right now. This is like a what's going on moment. The ground is shaking a little bit because there is a great company of the heavenly host suddenly speaking with a loud voice. Glory to God in the highest. We couldn't contain ourselves. Hello, Jesus is born. We couldn't stop ourselves. The gospel has come. We could not say glory to God because this is the moment that all of history's been waiting for. The system is over. The Savior has come. Life has come. Hope has come. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. And peace on earth. Don't you love that? It says, and they said, they appeared with the angel and they were praising God and they were saying, peace on earth. Wake up, Bethlehem. Peace on earth. On men, on whom his favor rests. Gone. Gone. Oh, gone. Glory to God. Goodbye. And you know what I think that says to me? Because I don't know about you, but a lot of times on a Thursday, on a Wednesday, in traffic, at the store, working on something at home, a lot of times for me, that the heavens don't open up and a great company of the heavenly host don't appear and go, I know you've been working on that project for 9 hours, but glory to God. Woo! Peace on earth. You know. But you know what I do know? I know they're right there. I know that I live my life and that you live your life in the company of a great heavenly host. And what divides what we see and what we don't see is so thin that just in a moment, they suddenly, the extraordinary comes into the ordinary. And this is the gospel. The gospel is that we've been born again. The gospel is that we are carriers of the life of Jesus. The gospel is that we are filled with the Spirit of God. And the gospel is that we see what you cannot see with the human eye. And we perceive what cannot be perceived with the human mind. And we live in this zone between two worlds that are not that far apart. And you're never alone. And you are never out of the sight of a company of the heavenly host. But they accompany us on our journey through life because we're a part of them and they're a part of us. We're a part of heaven and heaven is a part of us. And I don't know what it looks like to go back to your ordinary today and to know that the extraordinary is right there. Not only Christ in us, the hope of glory, but a canopy that any moment God could just go, and at a moment, he will. And the angel of the Lord will appear. And Christ will come just as suddenly as this angel. So we can't get stumped by what we see. We have faith percolating for what we believe. Just lastly, I'll close and say this. I love that the gospel moves us from feeling like it's up to us to watch over the flock at night to know that God watches over us at night. The angel of the Lord shone around them. The literal translation of this word, paralampo, means to be circled with heaven's light, but that literally it says, I shine around. This is the literal translation of paralampo. So when it says the glory of the Lord shone around them, it really says, and God is saying, in my glory, I shine around. It's like that prophecy from Isaiah 58 that said, if we will be the kind of people God wants us to be, that our lives will experience incredible breakthrough. Light will shine into our lives. Healing of God will come into our hearts. That the righteousness of God will lead us on. And at the very end of that prophecy in Isaiah 58, it says, and the glory of God will be our rear guard. And I just want to close with that today. Because I want us to know today that while we are keeping watch over what God has given us to keep over, watch over at night, that God is keeping watch over us. What do these shepherds do? If they didn't have a shelter to put the sheep in, the sheep would just all huddle together. And we even saw that in the video, how they all just want to get as close as they can. They would put them in the middle, and the shepherds would circle them in the night. They would split up if there were more shepherds, and they would take different sides. If there was just one shepherd, he would make a circle all night long, and he would just be letting whatever's out there, no, I'm here. Whatever's out there, no, you don't think about it. Whatever's looking from over there, don't you think about it. I'm here. Whatever was looking at these sheep, I'm here. I'm here. And all night long, keeping watch meant that he was circling the flock. And I love that when the angel of the Lord appeared, the glory of the Lord circled them. One translation says, or one commentary says, that the light of heaven circled the shepherds. And I just want us to know, walking out today, that when we come into that relationship with God Almighty, we call him Heavenly Father, he watches over us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he's watching over you, and he's got your back. This is the Christmas message for somebody today. God's got your back. You know, interestingly enough, we say in our culture all the time, man, you better watch your back. And in some ways you should. I mean, somebody, your business partner, he's going to try to mess you up. As soon as you think you trust him, the whole time he's been building a plan to take as much away from you as possible. I mean, somebody stole your girlfriend while you thought they were being your best friend. A person you thought was a trusted friend, all of a sudden the conversation unfolds and they just stabbed you right in the back. And so our culture says, you better watch your back. But it's interesting, the one thing you cannot do as a human being is watch your back. I mean, unless you're some crazy yoga person, and maybe you can, I'm not into that. There might be some way to do it. But I mean, for the rest of us, you can't. Yeah, you can. You can do a mirror and then a mirror, and then you can see your back. Yeah, well, you're not going anywhere if you're looking in mirrors. And if you want to walk on the path that God wants you to walk on, you can't watch your back. You have to know that you've got the glory of the Lord shining round about you, that the circle of the light of heaven is around you, and you just have to be faithful with what God has given you to care for today. And you got to know that God is going to be faithful to care for you. And I don't know if that lands for you tonight, but I just want to encourage you, somebody in this place today, God has got your back. He said, well, he's got my back. I don't know why this happened. Well, whatever happened in the end of the day for you is going to prove to be for good and not for evil if you put your trust in him. Because nothing happens to us apart from the sovereign purposes of God. This is the gospel, that God takes us from darkness into light, from a system to a savior, from being terrified to being filled with joy. And that happens not when we find Jesus, but when he finds us.